January 15th, 2026. It's 10:01 a.m. John Merchant, Cecilia is here, and Corey's here, and Amelia and Diane.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, everybody. So that's the call to order. Any comments from the public? No. First discussion item is item number three, updates to attendance and remote work policies. This is the work from home, the work from home policy?
Exactly right.
Okay. I will just make a couple of comments if that's okay.
Very good.
This is great to have a work from home policy is, or not, what are we calling it? A work from home remote work policy.
Yes.
This is something that we needed for sure. People get confused sometimes about this. So one thing that I made a note on is on the first page under primary business hours on site expectations, employees are expected to perform the majority of their duties, blah, 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 unless they receive prior manager or supervisor approval to work remotely. Is there a need or should we put in there for a specified period of time?
We can't.
And when we get to another part, I'll let you know why.
Three, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Everything else looks good. One of the... Let me just get to the section that... The whole section about basic policy and objectives, we had a problem in the past where
basic policy and
the supervisor, general manager, hired a person with the understanding that they would work 3 days a week from home. They would be able to work 3 days a week from home. And I'm a little concerned that in here it talks about what the supervisor can do, and it doesn't feel specific enough. I don't know if that period of time thing would take care of it or not. It sounds to me like if the supervisor permitted it, that person could work from home whenever. I mean, did anybody else have that feeling?
I think you have to have some flexibility for supervisory authority. I don't know what level that is. I mean,
no,
for example, there are four people in place now that I would consider to be at a level that for whatever temporary reasons should have the ability to say, well, yeah,
Yeah.
Oh, temporary that I'm not feeling. We aren't saying temporary.
Well, I mean, it does say a written work from home agreement will be prepared for review and signature. The duties, obligations, responsibility, blah, 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 will remain unchanged. We can add in here that it'll be a specified period of time.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay.
So it'll say, from January 16th to January 17th.
So that we aren't hiring.
And so that if we're sending you home to work from home for a day, there'll be a new agreement for that one day.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay?
But can't you write that in, that there's verbal authority at X level that you can authorize that type of exception? I mean, for example, if I'll make it up. I live with my mother, and my mother is very ill, and I really can't leave her alone. So, can I work at home for 7 days? Or 5 days?
Sure.
And the answer to that is, based on my supervisory authority, I have the ability to say yes.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
But in today's day and age, the verbal works until I can email you the agreement and you sign it and email it back. So it's not, it's not like the verbal. And right now, the only person that I really foresee authorizing work from home would be Cecilia, and I think she's going to weigh in.
Yeah, I think Shelby is here. We've talked about this in HR to go meeting, and there are forms that they provide for us to really put the from
parameters.
And to down. And so we have it written, and I have staff here who went on maternity leave or paternity leave, and that's what I put in. Like, this is the time that you're going to be off, and you're going to return. And when you return, it's going to be 9 to 5 or 8 to 4. So everything should be written down and approved in a format, and HR to go has provided us with forms to do it.
Okay, and all I was provided with was the work agreement. Will you bring that up on the screen? So that was all I was able to put in here.
I'm with John. I don't see any problem with saying, you know, you've got to work from home for 7 days or 8 days or 2 weeks or whatever. That can come up intermittently when it's unexpected.
Which is the
more
general
often than not.
I think so.
Let me ask it a different way. All right. So I'm a supervisory employee, and I have that situation I described, and I'm giving you permission, or an exception to policy, if you will, okay, that you've been working over the next 7 days. Do I need a form?
Yeah, you want a form.
Okay. I think we want a
everything
form.
Documented.
Okay.
Unless
you
know that person is sick. And for the next 3 days, that person is coughing and, you know, not feeling well, but I have a project that it's my month end is there. I need that person
to
work. That's okay to not do a form. But if it's anything over a certain period of time, maybe we should put that in.
Yeah, there you go.
We need to have that written in place. And HR2Go probably can advise us what's that duration of time should be.
Okay.
From what time to what time. If it's over 7 days or over 10 days, you tell me what to do. Then we have to have it written down. You know?
Okay.
You could make you could make it whatever you want. 1 work week or 2 work weeks or I don't know. Whatever you
And I think the last time that we had everybody work from home was a Friday when most of staff was off. But her Robert Half consultants work Monday through Friday, 8 hours a day, right?
Right.
And we had a repair on the lift station back here, so we weren't going to have any water in the building. And so Cecilia said everybody go work from home. I mean, those are the kinds of circumstances.
And they're unexpected sometimes. And so we need to have the flexibility.
Internet is down.
Yeah, right.
The internet is okay, good. Thank you.
I have to finish the audits or finish the month-end close, so go home and work.
Right. You know. And I have to, non-exempt employees, those are the union employees.
Huh?
The non-exempt employees are the represented employees, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
The ones, the non-exempt, the exempt,
I'm exempt.
The exempt
I'm
from
exempt.
Overtime.
We have to remove that line about non-exempt employees will not be granted remote work privileges, because in Chris and Beverly, they can't work from home.
But then there's one person who's the IT manager. It's unrepresented, right?
Yes.
Who else is unrepresented?
You, Brendan? Me, Brandon, Corey, and Travis.
Yeah.
So we have to massage that. Non-exempt.
I think just to be safe, that policy should cover everybody. Then, there's no... Because you and I, unrepresented also needs to be answering to somebody. And the GM in the future will dictate whether you can go for a duration of time. You know?
So I'm going to remove non-exempt employees.
And then HR2Go can tell us what's the time frame that you have to put it on writing, in writing.
And that was a problem, as we were alerted to, didn't know that it wasn't happening, that
yes.
We had policies and nobody was doing anything,
yes, I
general
understand.
Manager included.
Yeah.
They were not saying, I'm off for this amount of time. I have
right.
This
right.
So how does this work from here? You revise it and then we bring it to the board, or you revise it and we bring it back here? How's it work?
We revise it.
Bring it to the board.
And then it goes to the union.
Oh,
this is
yes.
the last of the policies, because we had a bunch last month at the personnel committee that were just those boilerplate HR policies. All of these go over to the union. The union rep will meet with the represented employees and discuss any changes that are being made to their work rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll get back to us if they have any changes or if they're okay with it. We'll revise it again. We'll bring it. Hopefully there won't be, but surely there will, right?
So they have not reviewed anything on
I'm sending it all over at once.
Okay.
So that she only has to have one meeting with the whole group.
Okay.
Amelia, what about the special meeting for security?
That's going to be on the
That's a job description meeting, basically. So
okay. So you want
the Well, if we're doing all of this at one time, then I would think we should probably put that in at the
you
same
have
time.
To, yep. You have to. I think you in the same policy, you write in an exclusion for security. You can't work at home.
Oh, no. No, not.
My husband at the railroad, they don't let him work from home either.
Yeah.
I want to move all of the policies that are concerning HR forward together to the board.
Okay. Right.
At the same time, we'll also have a few revisions to the policy manual, okay? To the HR policy manual. The personnel manual is what they call it.
No, but what I'm...
Security, I wasn't talking about security working from home. I was talking about a security job description that we will decide on.
Okay, so again, I don't want to muddle.
Right.
Yeah.
I want that security job description to be a separate...
Okay.
Yeah,
that's all I wanted to know.
You have two choices. You can either write a separate policy for security, or you can include the verbiage in the existing policy that the security personnel are exempt from this policy, or however you want to write it.
Yeah.
Well,
what I'm asking is not about work from home in security. What I anticipate finally is that we are going to go through a process next month.
Yeah, be happy with and agree about
what.
Observe and report.
What observe and report is, what kind of equipment security is going to carry, and then put that all in their job description. So if we want to say something about work from home, you know, mm-hmm. I would think it would apply to Brandon. He would be the only person, but I don't see that is something we would need to be going to or addressing.
No. Well, and Brandon's exempt.
Oh, okay.
He's exempt.
All right.
So that's clear.
You're writing one policy, putting in an exemption from work from home for security.
No.
Because Brandon's already an exempt employee, so
I'm not talking about Brandon.
His...
I'm talking about let's make
any more than I would call out the operations crew.
Yeah.
Who can't work from home because their work is here.
Yeah, right. And but in I was just saying in that policy, if you're writing a policy that is district wide, you need to exempt the security guys, or the guy's gonna say, look, I'm home today, I opened my window, I'm a gate officer, I opened my window, so I'm gonna work from home. I'll stick my head out the window and wave people through. Okay.
It's
gotta be in there.
I get it.
It's gotta be in there.
Okay, so we are going to add verbiage into this policy to specifically exempt.
I just want to make sure that, you know, all those job description needs to go through HR and go. HR
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a prerequisite.
And that's why I want it to be a separate, because we're already going to have a big focus and a big discussion on the policies, and those affect every employee district-wide. While the CSO job description versus the patrol officer job description, that impacts four people.
I got it.
That's why I'm trying to separate them so that it doesn't get more confusing at the board level.
Okay, we got to move
on.
Does that make sense? We have 15 minutes on item three. Let's go to four.
It may take that long.
Exempt.
Let's get it done right.
So then I should specifically exempt operations and work from home policy. Because operations can't work from home any more than your gate officer.
Regardless, can we just... This policy is for RMCSD?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we don't have to craft people out. Because in the future, if there's administration type of people in operation, then that person is exempt.
You can, I guess you can, if it's in the policy that you can say no, then...
It's in the policy that they have to get prior written supervisory approval to work from home.
So
Corey,
it,
are you going to let... You gonna let Mario work from home?
No.
No.
Can he work in my home? I have some issues.
Tell the operators have to be on site.
All right.
Operators have to be on site. That's what I thought. Yeah.
I agree that if you just leave it a blanket for the whole district, we're covering everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that covers everything. Okay, so with that said, I'm not going to make that change to the policy specifically calling out the security personnel from not working at home.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the work from home policy?
No, ma'am. Yes. Okay, and we've already talked about it. The committee wishes for me to send this to the union so it can keep moving through.
Okay. Okay. And thanks again. This has been...
Thank HR to go.
Okay, thank
Shelby,
you, HR to go.
Shelby's here from HR to go, and she's been instrumental in not only the... policies and but in the compensation study. I think that you headed up the compensation study, and she did a great job. She's here today from HR to go. Do you want to come up to the podium?
Yeah.
I mean, you can explain your study better than I can, Shelby, so maybe I'll just turn it over.
Okay, so we're moving on to the next item.
Mm-hmm. If it's okay with you, which is the salary survey for non-represented, unrepresented employees. And again, there's only five of us currently.
Let us know what page you want us to go to.
We have a whole survey in here?
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I think that top table that we were actually just looking at is our current salaries.
It is.
Correctly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go back up a page. One more. Oh, no, that is
no,
it.
That,
I'm sorry, that is
it.
So that's our current salary schedule.
Okay.
So we have a starting point of kind of what we're working with right now to offer salaries to our unrepresented employees. The purpose of this survey, we referenced the paper performance manual that you all have outlined, that outlined 18 or 19 specific sources that the district has deemed comparable to the work that you do, and, you know, that document predates me, so I'm not sure kind of what else went into the decision to include those other organizations.
I do have, right from the get-go, and this goes throughout the study. We have listed a security supervisor and a security sergeant. We do not have two people. We have one person. We call him the sergeant, but he is actually the chief or the supervisor or whatever. So one way or another, we have to fix that.
Which is something that I've called out in my report.
Okay.
That we will go back and review his job specifically because he's making more than the salary, you know, survey came out. So will we revise
his... doing two jobs.
Will we revise his job description? I don't know. But I know that many of the supervisor job duties fell into the administrative security sergeant job description. So we're going to revisit that.
Yep, so that one has brought to my attention, Linda.
Oh.
So Amelia said, we're looking at that. We'll kind of see where exactly the position falls as far as...
Right. So as we go through this, we should just not address that anymore.
If there's any more questions, we definitely can, but that was actually going to be a point that I made, and you know, the research that we did with these salary surveys is super important because it does highlight some of those discrepancies and opportunity to evaluate the goals people are doing and their salary altogether. So what I've done, and this is just kind of a first step, and we don't need to go through the report kind of in depth just because it's lengthy. Again, I looked at the sources that were outlined in the paper performance manual. I compared job descriptions that you all have to the job descriptions at some of these comparable sources that you all outlined, just to see what they are paying their employees.
And here's the new.
With our staff. So the report is, this is kind of just an overall picture of what the salary survey showed. So there's a page for each of the positions that outlines the salaries from each survey source. So there's a little bit more in depth, and these are just the averages of all the data that we compiled from all of those sources. So this is kind of high-level broad picture of what those sources told me that they are paying their employees. And this is not something that we are necessarily married to. We don't have to adopt this. I'm doing an analysis right now, which is kind of the next step to see, you know, what is your current utility supervisor making in comparison to the data that I pulled? Where does your current salary band for each position fall in comparison to the data that I pulled? So it might turn out that your salaries align perfectly with what the survey says. We're doing that analysis right now. And if any position has come out kind of, you know, super on the low end, like we were talking about with that security position, or maybe super on the high end, we can evaluate kind of what the contributing factor is to that, to for us to be different than what the sources say, and kind of make some of the business decisions from there as to how exactly we would like to adopt our new salary bands moving forward.
Can I, a couple of questions. First, thank you for this format. It's very helpful. Does it make sense for us, looking at your comparative cities, if you will, or locations, that we would collectively somehow isolate five of those to base our decisions on? I mean, I don't know what knowing Calaveras and Mammoth does for us. You know, I do know what Roseville does to us in the county and everybody else. We are a training program for Roseville and the county of Sacramento. Everybody who's ever done well here is working in Roseville. So it's true. Ask the planning department. It's a who's who. So maybe doing that. The other thing I'd like to understand when I look at these numbers is, and maybe you look at this collectively for exempt and non-exempt, I'd like to know, as a percentage, what our fringe is. In other words, when collectively, if you look at non-exempt employees, what is the overall average fringe benefit? And then you have to list what you consider to be fringe. Is that a PERS contribution? Is it medical? Is it dental? Is it life insurance, whatever it is that we add on, I'd like to know what that number is, and I'd also like to know it for exempt employees as well. I want you to separate the two, if you can get a handle on that. And I'd like to know.
So you want like a dollar figure then?
Right.
Well, a percentage.
Well, a dollar figure.
As a. You know, if you,
as a whole.
If I make $100,000 a year, my fringe is $60,000, then it's 60%.
We've done that here before. That's why I'm asking.
Okay.
Because it's an impressive number.
It is.
And collectively, then, if we're going to identify five sources, using Roseville, using four others, whatever we're going to do.
Okay.
If it's possible to get our arms around what that is competitively in terms of fringe, it'd be an interesting number to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I can provide you with that data, but that should not be included in here.
I'm not saying that you include it in here, but
we should know.
If I'm gonna pay at the top end of a general manager's salary. Okay, if I'm going to be at $260,000 a year, and I'm giving away 57% in fringe, okay?
Right.
That means that package is worth $300,000+.
Right.
Okay? It is.
So I just want to understand that before we say, that's cool. Let's use that number.
Exactly.
You know, I don't.
Okay.
I will give that data to you.
Yeah. But, I mean, for a starter, this is good, and I do believe that we want to focus on wherever we compete for employees, you know, like
which is Roseville,
other than the top executive level is probably a geographic decision.
Right.
I mean, we're not putting, You know, we're not buying somebody as a utility worker that's going to put their stuff in a U-Haul and come from L.A. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So,
one thing that
right,
I'm not sure how it plays into this exactly, but I went through all of this, and where there wasn't a population, I looked it up, and there populations throughout the people that are the places that we looked at, or you looked at here. There's no place that has as few people as we do.
And it does so much.
Wait, except Lake of the Pines and Wildwood. And they don't give us any information. And the reason they don't give us any information is because it's all an HOA run, both of them. And so if you wanted information from them, you might be able to get it by contacting them. I've contacted their security departments for a different reason, and that's how I know about some of this stuff. But what does the population and the amount of money that's expended on salaries, that has to have some relationship to how this study applies to us. So, John, I like the idea of picking five at the most. And I think Lake of the Pines could be in there, and Wildwood, if we can get the information.
So, this document, and I don't want to be stuck in the mud.
No.
But this document goes back to the pay-for-performance manual. So, and I know that HR2Go has been tasked with, along with everything else, looking at revising us and giving us like an easier to understand, just to start with, pay for performance manual. So I don't know that we can just say, oh, well, we want to look at Lake of the Pines instead, because these locations were specifically called out in that original document.
Here. Lake of the Pines and Wildwood are in here.
In the pay for performance manual.
They're in here. In
they
this.
Didn't have their data on the website for mutual.
Oh, we couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the reasons that the fringe number is significant, if you're dealing with a Lake of the Pines where they're not a public agency, the contributions overall as fringe as a percentage are significantly lower than they are here.
Right.
I mean, we do use, and we're in a terrible position here. We're kind of, you know, on the cusp of an urban district, but you know, at 3,000 units, and competitively, we're competing with districts that are 185,000 people. Okay, so there's a difference there, but to understand. Lake of the Pines is yeah, you know, maybe the salary is what it is, but the benefit part of that total package is nowhere near giving away.
Yeah, you're right.
So, absolutely not.
Majority of these being public agencies, their salary schedules are public information and on the website.
Well, yeah.
Page 22.
Of what?
Of this report.
Okay.
You go to page 22. It says total annual compensation for utility supervisor. Survey number 2, City of Folsom, if I'm reading this right, it says low is 103 to 117 average, high is 130. These are the numbers you guys pulled?
Yep.
So City of Folsom's website says that's inaccurate. It says it's a low of 111 to 141.
Well, we also had a new year, so it could be that it went up at the new year, because she gathered this data in December. Yes, Shelby?
Yeah, and it's also comparing job descriptions, and some of the websites have salary information in different sources. So beyond that survey that you're looking at, there also was some additional data and additional sources. So we can definitely reconcile that to see what the accurate.
And a lot of our job descriptions are not correct.
I'm looking at our job descriptions are horrible, so it's hard for you to compare that.
And again.
But we're working on that. So you look at survey number 2, this says utility maintenance supervisor for the City of Folsom. I'm looking at that, and this is as of July of last year. This isn't.
Oh, okay.
So it's
good
not.
Call out. We'll go back and look at it.
So the other part of that is that And we can consider this on a line item by line item basis. We're in a position where you might need two or three times the number of certs in this department to do your job, that where you get to Elk Grove, where you have 185,000 people, your job is divided in three.
Absolutely. Yeah, the utility maintenance supervisor at Folsom does not do sewer. They don't do, mm-hmm. they do have
yeah. jobs. Don't do windows, don't do floors, don't do sewers. Yeah. Right.
Additionally, we have to take into consideration that that position is probably a strict salary position, while the utility supervisor and the chief plant operator here do have the availability to earn overtime. So that's going to affect your total compensation mm-hmm. greatly. Yeah.
So as we put this together, and we've talked about a lot of interesting and valuable stuff that we can use in comparative analysis. Mm-hmm. We need to put it in one place to do the analysis. This is a great start. I mean, it is. But I want to see, like, in one central location, the rest of the analysis that we're talking about, all of which is important. Like Corey said, okay, they need multiple certs to do their job. However, they get probably comparatively against somebody else, maybe a different fringe comparison, okay? Maybe some are union, maybe some are non-union. And at the end of that, I think we'll have enough data to make an intelligent decision. But the other part of it that I want to consider is how do we, and, you know, and we're geographically undesirable, okay? I
mean, well, to us, not to you as residents.
Yeah,
clearly.
To the hiring side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a drive.
I've heard that I'm geographically undesirable for as long as I've lived here and as long as I've been on this board. People have to drive to work, or they have to take the transit, or they have to commute in some way. I understand that it's not a major highway, but Jackson Highway is a connector. It has been widened, it has a paved shoulder, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think we can use that reasoning to say that we aren't going to get good people because they won't come from Folsom, or they won't come from.
When I'm hiring, you know, even on my temp job, I constantly have to say that consultant is available, but they don't want to drive this way. So
yeah, so
they'd rather drive downtown Sacramento in all the traffic.
Well, that's yeah.
They don't. I mean, they might got a job somewhere else, but it's not downtown. But that's something that it happened.
I understand
uh-huh,
that.
And
I
it happened. It's
that.
A consideration.
I get it. But we have to look at the fact that some of this has changed in the last 30 years or the last 20 years as far as what people know about where Rancho Mirada is and how you can get there. You know, I just want it to be taken into consideration that we can't not acknowledge the difference in, and if it's a candidate, and that's a problem. I don't know if you can rationalize with people or not, or help them understand. But I just think that we can't keep saying that we can't get good people because we're out in the.
If you're gonna put a DA on this, a decision analysis, you're gonna chart it,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you're gonna weight it. Then I'm not saying that. I'm not asking for this comparative analysis because I want to spend less money.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know all of these facts so we can be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And geographic, a decision analysis. You know, my office was in Davis for 24 years. Okay, and my last trip to my old dentist, okay, mm-hmm. for an 8 o'clock in appointment. It used to take me 45 minutes to go to work. It now takes me almost an hour and a half.
Sure, yeah. I was down there yesterday.
So
it's brutal.
So, you know, what I'm saying is to do this and plant our flag on a number that we want to pay, maybe some of these people we have to recognize right up front, we have to pay more money. And maybe maybe the other consideration is, well, when we're negotiating with people over a baseline starting salary, mm-hmm. we're saying, hey, you know, this is worth 52% more when you consider this and this and this this and this. So that's why we need all the information.
Yeah, because looking at the chief plant operator within this, it says survey number two, Folsom again, water treatment plant chief operator. They don't have a treatment plant chief operator. They only have a distribution chief operator, which is a different role altogether than what Travis does. So it's kind of a lower salary than what he does.
Yeah, they have
Again, your position and his position are both of it have the availability to earn overtime, which don't.
But this is page 18, and the overtime doesn't matter when it goes into a base salary.
No, Corey, you're right. I mean, first of all, our job description posted on the website, it's not entirely correct. And HR2Go is using that as a guideline to search.
Yeah.
But because we have a range of cities that all of them have different job description, it's a range that we're providing.
Correct.
And when it comes down to actual hiring, we can use, in the pay for performance, there's different factor that bump that final number into a higher range too.
Absolutely.
So it's just a guideline. We cannot
I'm saying is a guideline. We need to make sure our data is accurate. And that's why I'm saying survey number two says water treatment plant chief operator. There is no such thing.
Then
also,
good.
So if you're
then
using
point it out
sure
and then point it out and HR2Go will go back. And that's what this function is for.
Right.
We overall review it, voice our opinion, and HR2Go will go back and revise that data. Because she wouldn't know, like, if there's a major difference.
And part of that is as you establish this document as a benchmark, it doesn't mean that, you know, you arbitrarily have to plant your flag on what this number says. I mean, you're going to understand, okay, well, we need a chief plant operator, and like Corey says, we know what ours does, and, you know, Folsom's got a hole in the ground of a 250,000 acre foot lake, and they suck water out into a water plant, and we're a little different than that. So, you know, and yeah, that, you know, a lot of these people live in Roseville and Folsom, so that's a pretty good commute compared to what we got. And oh, we've been at this for 4 months and we got one response, you know. So maybe at that point we have to readjust our thinking and we got to go up in what we're going to pay. But at least all of this data is consolidated. What I don't want to do is, and we've done it before, you look at the salary survey and say, well, this is the new salary. Everybody goes up,
yeah.
I don't want to do that. So, you know, that's kind of where I am.
And actually, this salary survey, it's overdue, right? Because the last one was done in 2021.
Right.
And this, the last one that...
The pay-for-performance manual says it should have been done in the first 3 months of 2024. And in 2024, the board just decided instead, for compaction reasons, to give all of the people on the exempt list 5% raise across the board to line up with that 5% raise exempt people got.
So this one is done in December, kind of December, November of 2025, and that number is really going to be used to retro from 2024, 1-1-2024, because...
Yes, that is what we're asking.
We are supposed to be doing this in 2024.
No, we got a raise in 2024 of the 5%. And so this would go back to January 1st, 2025.
Okay.
And that's what I've asked for in the memo.
We've made a lot of really good points on this, and I think it's some good information that Cecilia, myself, and Kimberly, who's my HR colleague, can chat through. I want to address a few points that have been made, just kind of in closing. Corey, to your point about the job title, the water treatment plant, I think in Folsom, if the job description exists on, like, within the Folsom website, that's what I was referring to, even though there may not be an incumbent in the position. If they have that job description and the salary that's associated with it, that's kind of what we were comparing to. So that's good insight for us. If you're looking to leave, you're kind of, any of you, with your expertise of the district and what you do and kind of your counterparts and competitors are, that's helpful information for us to have as we're still kind of getting up to speed on everything that you all do, and kind of, we don't have any way of kind of grasping the work that your counterparts are doing on top of that. So that's helpful feedback to have, and if we're looking at it and it doesn't make sense to include that job description from Folsom, I think that's an opportunity for us to mix that data if we need to, or if there's a job description that we think fits better about an incumbent is holding the position, they're doing this work that matches a little bit more closely to what we're doing. That's an opportunity for us to kind of reevaluate the data and scratch any data that we might need to scratch. So I think to your point also, John, picking out the sources and the job titles that make the most sense and compare most closely to what you all are doing. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense. I think that's within alignment of the personnel or the pay for performance manual. If we're seeing City of Folsom has this job title, it doesn't align, it doesn't make sense. And I think that's the same thing as saying, well, the City of Folsom just doesn't have any data to provide. Mm-hmm. And just kind of clearing off that line for the City of Folsom, which I would have done to begin with, just said that there's no data that aligns. So okay. I think that we can absolutely go through and kind of evaluate the sources. I'll need your eyes to go through like a fine-tooth comb. And I think future state, it's a good opportunity for us to evaluate who are our sources going to be moving forward. I know that SMUD is on here, and they are a very, very, very large utility provider, so maybe it doesn't make sense to include them moving forward. Maybe some of the other ones don't make sense as well. And I think that's an opportunity for us to review future state or future surveys to see, are there additional districts that we need to include moving forward? Can we remove some of these sources? Because revenue that Rainy Man is just kind of going outside of the water for being a community that we are, and kind of doing comparisons there and trying to compare less apples to oranges and things.
Yeah, there's distinctive economies of scale. Correct me if you think this is inaccurate. I'm running a water plant. And it's got a pipe in the ground in Folsom Lake, and I'm running a water plant, and it's out here, okay? And just assume for a minute that those are comparable positions. But running a water plant for 100,000 people is, when you compare it to 6,000 people, there's an economy of scale in there that, you know, we can't compete with. I mean, you know, we have to compete with it. We don't have any choice because I need a certified plant operator, and it is what it is. But it's the, you know, that's why I'm trying to get all this stuff, you know, inside one bucket and where we can sift through it and mm-hmm. figure out how to approach this.
And your point too about fringe benefits, I think is a good call. We only have access to kind of city based salaries, so this is all just based. This isn't accounting for any, you know, retirement that these organizations are offering, any sort of like health benefits package, HSA package that they're offering. We don't see that information. That's not included. We're strictly looking at the salary.
Right. Right.
So there's also fringe benefits to consider as well. If you think that your fringe benefits are blowing everyone else out of the water, I think that's
Okay.
But I also felt like my job, just my.
Oh, could you speak into the microphone?
So I also think that my job, like here, even though if you compare my job to other bigger agency, City of Elk Grove, they might have like two or three strong people sitting in my post, and that's spread out. But here, the accounting is actually complex, but I'm doing all. So even though I'm not managing less people, but I actually have to oversee from A to Z everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the requirement of knowledge in this position, that's applicable to all of us, mm-hmm. right? It's actually you have to know more instead of, you know, you manage less people, but the knowledge that you have for doing the accounting, it's actually
more.
Higher level.
Mm-hmm. If you want to take the last point I have, if you want to just comparatively, in the management grid, just start there. Look on the EID website, and you'll get a good idea of how that organization is structured. What Cecilia says makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have an army up there. They have lawyers on staff. Okay.
Right.
They have one person running EID that makes two of our general manager in terms of salary and benefits.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So, but look at how it's structured and then comparatively to us, and you'll get a good idea of some of the problems we have. Okay.
Okay. Did you want to
Do we want to have to, so where do we go from here? Do you want this to come back next month to
I think she has to go back and revise based on our advice.
Okay.
And then bring it back when you're ready.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
And you and I can discuss the time frame because you have the HR menu that you're doing too.
Yeah.
So once it's revised, I'll report back to you guys as to the timing.
Okay.
Okay.
So it may or may not be the next personnel committee meeting.
It might not be.
But yeah, there's a lot of work involved in
right,
there.
Right. There's still, yeah.
That's fine.
If
that's
we're
good.
Wanting revisions to be made, I think it would be helpful to have each of you kind of spend some more time going through it and telling me like what counties don't make sense for us to look at.
Okay.
What job titles just don't align. What job titles are they not actually employing despite the fact that they might have that job description. So the more feedback I have on kind of what's not aligning with your expectations is super helpful.
Do you have, I'm sure you pulled a job description based on each job. Do you want to send that to us so we can see what you're pulling from the different cities or counties?
I can't. It's all the job titles are here. I don't have job descriptions.
Okay.
It's all just posted online.
So we just look at that description and see if it hits. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have it on the list.
Use Bill and I as a benchmark for...
For your compensation?
Compensation.
Right? Okay. Got it.
And me.
And Lynn.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to...
Thank you very much. Thanks, Shelby, for coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shelby.
I think you should stay.
Okay.
Yeah. Just listen to... Because personnel committee is really your area. It's like running the finance committee without me. It's not good.
So we want to look at the updated org chart.
So I think we're on item number 5.
Right.
Just trying to keep up. So this is my item. The board members have recommended that we make a change to the organizational chart in that now the IT manager, security sergeant, chief plant operator, and utility supervisor would all roll up to the interim general manager. Of course, there's a line between the board of secretary and the general manager. For the district secretary, that's just the structure of the organization.
Okay, I have two things.
Yeah.
Again, the security sergeant, we need to change that name.
To supervisor?
To supervisor, and then we need to pull those two job descriptions together and see if he's doing both of them.
Mm.
Okay. Currently,
I mean,
currently he is the admin security sergeant.
It's just that
if you want to give him, if you're considering giving him a promotion, then that's a different conversation, I think.
Okay.
No, what she's referring to, our job description posted on our website do not clearly show all the job tasks that she's doing.
Right. And
so
the
I'm
not talking about a promotion. I'm talking about taking the two job descriptions. One was for security sergeant and one was for security chief. That was in the past. For some reason that I don't know or understand, when we hired Brandon Areno, we gave him the title of security sergeant, and he obviously is doing two people's jobs because we had two people. We had a chief and we had a sergeant.
We had three people. We had a chief, a supervisor, and a sergeant. The chief went away.
But the supervisor had been gone
for a long time.
The job didn't go away.
But
the job duties didn't go away.
Yes, I agree with that.
I guess what you're recommending is to clean up the job description to be more reflective of his current role.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you know, we'll go from there.
I don't want to...
Well, all of our job description needs to be clean up.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
as that sits, in terms of the way the boxes connect with reporting authority, it's what we were looking for.
Yeah.
The titles may be wrong, but...
Okay, and so then...
That's what the starting point is there. I mean, that's what it is.
My other question is, are we going to continue referring to the director of finance and admin when admin is really separate?
It
don't know what is director of admin previously, because Paula O'Keefe, her job title is director of admin.
I know,
but she's clearly
that.
In charge of the finance. So, and I also look at her work. She doesn't really.
We can't look
yeah.
at Paula's situation.
Right, no, I'm going to say I agree with you that the director of operation, director of admin, it's misleading. Wasn't sure what, you know, its
right.
administration right. means.
You know, I think that probably goes back to when we had a controller.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
then the director of administration
too.
Was in yeah. charge of the controller. And the controller, of course, was the person who was doing all the financials.
Yeah.
Right.
We had a, we had a job. That was called controller, but we didn't have a controller.
It's just that the director of finance
never had a controller. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay. The director of finance, you have a ton of responsibility. You have a ton of people that you supervise. The administrative part of any of this agency has a completely different job description. So what we've done in the past with Paula and I don't know how many other people is we just lumped it all together because we didn't have people to do the job. And I'm saying that at some point
we should clearly
define your job
right.
and clearly define an admin manager. And the admin manager is somebody that, from my personal observation and experience, is somebody who will be in the level of general manager, admin manager, and assistant, probably, admin manager. they will work with the general manager and oversee, you know, all the tasks that that go on.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I felt like, what is director of admin, right? We have a lot of repair and maintenance stuff that needs to happen, like routinely manage the AC, routinely going back to all the facility
uh-huh.
and make sure that those repair and maintenance is done, you know. That's administration type of things.
Yes.
And nobody is doing that right now.
Well,
and I'm not going to do that.
Somebody does.
And that was I said, was the district secretary. The longer, you know, the longer you're in a job, the better you get at that job, and so you're able to take on more things. And so those were a lot of the things that
That's
I was
exactly
doing:
what I'm
fixing the toilet,
yeah.
making sure the pest control, the alarms,
yeah,
and
the
working.
Cleaning ladies, you know, doing the job. Nobody is actually doing that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so I mean, those are kind. Right now, Diane's helping out as she can, and she's actually very good at that.
But to Linda's point, we
need to look at
my job description and make sure that the admin function is not on me.
Right.
Because that's
exactly.
not what I'm doing.
That's
yeah.
exactly where I'm going. That the
yep.
admin function belongs
right.
in the admin.
Admin.
Admin
yeah.
area.
And I think we need to better look at and categorize what are the administration type of work and then build that job description.
We actually have a pretty comprehensive.
This is an administration.
Not in here.
But
we do have
the
a
job. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We do have a comprehensive job description for administrative manager, and that hasn't
been published. So
no,
yeah.
it hasn't been published.
We're
September 17th.
From what's on here though, we're straying here today.
Right.
We're
okay.
I understand, and we need to revamp the job descriptions from the top
Thank
down.
You.
Everybody knows that
from the top down.
So.
And it's one of the things that HR2Go is going to help us with, but they can only do things so fast, and so we're really prioritizing their work. It was our number one priority to get the HR policies updated and update the personnel handbook and make sure that that all aligned with the MOU.
And my point is that that's exactly what we need to do.
Yes.
And that's exactly why we're talking about this. And it's because we need to have we need to take what we're doing and make sure that we've got the right structure in place for the things that need to be done. And this is the time to do that.
Yes.
This is the time to do that.
So with that said, what are your wishes for? for this organizational chart.
And
to take it to the board?
Well, no. Do we do that? I mean, do we have to do it?
Yes,
do
we have to do that.
Okay, then we should do it.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
I mean, there's no, they are as those job descriptions are currently written, and those names are put into those boxes, and those boxes connect to the appropriate person who's responsible mm-hmm. for them. I think that's what we need
we
to
need
approve.
To do, yeah.
And when understanding that we may change that at the drop of a hat. Archivally, I want to make, at least for the record, I want to note that in 2002, we were bitching about the air conditioner.
In 2002?
Yeah. And continue to do so.
Or 2022?
No, 2002. I was here in 2002.
Okay, I just replaced the air conditioner the year before last.
Okay, yeah.
You're welcome.
So, the other night when I was sweating in here.
I'll show you how to use it.
Okay, cool.
One thing, the organization chart, the date, I don't
it's
think
wrong.
It's wrong,
yeah, we'll update that. It should be January 2026.
The
it should say January
chart.
2026.
Oh, okay, sorry about
September
that.
2025, yeah. Which was last time that we took it to the board and it was approved by the board.
Okay.
Awesome.
The next item on the agenda is two job descriptions. I want to talk about them together.
Very good.
And, yeah.
Would you like me to give a little brief overview of how we got here?
Sure.
So I was approached by the board and asked that we, right, because I think it's clear to everybody who looks in on us that we need we have more work to do than people to do it. So we thought about two different positions, one being for a project assistant, which has now been updated to an administrative assistant. I gave everyone that updated job description. We just changed a couple things, like the name of it, from mm-hmm. project assistant to administrative assistant.
And some job duties.
Just a very, very, very few job duties. Yeah. Took some things out, actually.
And do you mind if I add that this would be a temporary floating position?
Yes, we're hoping that this would be a temporary position.
Yeah.
Designed to just take the workload, take off job duties that are weighing down our supervisory staff. For instance, Travis and Corey and Amelia and I don't know, Cecilia has a lot of help, but say John called up and said, hey, I need a water report run. I want to see all of the, and here's the parameters. So then that person could work with the accounting and billing department to get that together, to make that data manageable so that you can understand it. So those are the kinds of things that they would be taking care of. And
right.
It's all detailed in the job
and
description.
And some of it, as we've outlined in here.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. As we've outlined in here, this is not a substitute for people doing their reports that they ordinarily do every month.
Right.
We're not giving those jobs to
another person.
This is an additional help, or to help relief people.
Exactly.
And some of this is really going to be what I would consider medium to high level clerical work, because they're going to have to. Would you like to make a face?
I'm not making faces.
Oh, okay. Some of this is going to require, pulling information.
Pulling data. Disseminating that data.
Right. Putting it on an Excel spreadsheet or whatever.
Right.
So, anyway.
That's a consultant position, right? Not a...
It's a temporary position.
Temporary position, right. And so that would be...
And that would also give us the opportunity to find out what the bottom line needs are for everyone. To mm-hmm. like this is an absolute must have. Let me bring this up.
There be some concerns with the
of course there is.
like managing the CMMS system. The CMMS system manages itself, and then we work in that system, and we need a system.
Okay, so the CMMS system, I'll just stop Corey there. He doesn't like what we currently have or will have in place, and we will be remaining with the system because we have hundreds of thousands of dollars invested into it. And right. Until we've given it a try and really worked with it and made every effort to make it work for us, we won't be considering another. And when I put that in there, I was thinking more along the lines of at the person who's going, because right now Diane is adding all the meter sending all the meter information mm-hmm. over on the APN number so that the consultant can put that, the GIS system can put that in and associate that on those data points. And so that would be something that this person would take care of. Can I?
So the district in 2022 paid for that all to be integrated.
Integrated. To
the GIS system.
We paid for what now?
For it to be integrated with an updated for our system.
Okay, so we're gonna and we actually did not pay that invoice.
Okay, I think this is not a personnel committee subject.
Yes, right.
Let's
right.
put
right.
it into yeah. ad hoc committee, and we'll talk about that.
Right, this is a separate issue.
I brought up now are those changes that we made. They were kind of last night changes. We're still going to have this person keeping the records organized and filed, providing support to staff, answering the phones. And so this would be a person I'm seeing as answering all those utility calls and saying, instead of Corey having to do that, saying, oh, you have a leak. How big is it? It's just a little leak? Well, we'll be out, you know, tomorrow. Or, oh, it's gushing water down the street? Hang on, let me get somebody out there right away. And kind of be that first level triage for those calls that I know take a lot of time off of, out of Corey's day, that now somebody else could be managing.
A frontline person.
A frontline person, yeah.
Make decisions about where stuff has to go. Yeah.
Exactly. With great organizational skills, great Excel skills so that they can help run reports and make graphs and charts and have all those wonderful that I've
and my sort of take on this is that this is a beginning.
Yes.
And as we get the structure chart modified, changed, fixed, whatever we want to do, as we look at the other admin, my own thing is getting an admin manager. But the first thing, and I'm going to say that when we get to the other part of this discussion, is we have to hire a general manager. And that is basically one of the first things that has to take place. So this is, like I said, as I see this is a beginning. This is not the end. It's a beginning. And by hiring a temporary to take this position, we can see how this is going to work out. We can see where we're missing the point or where we don't need this particular service. And that's why I actually like what we've put together here.
Okay. And so then the next position is for, I'm going to plug Diane back in. And everyone has a paper copy of that update. We'll add it to the website after the meeting. So the next position is for a project manager or project specialist.
Project specialist.
And that person is going to That person is going to jump into big projects. They will perform comprehensive research and analysis for assigned special projects. They will conduct internal organization audits, compare alternative solutions, and suggest the best course of action. So these are big projects that need to happen. And they will take them from start to finish. So then I can say, oh my gosh, we need a full comparison of all the salaries for the exempt employees and, I mean, non-exempt employees and et cetera, et cetera. And they'll bring all that data to us and present it.
Well.
And that is an operation department position or here, administrative?
That is
it sounds
the entire organization. The entire organization. So we would have to split that person and their expertise up. Because we don't have giant projects that are happening all the time.
So is this going to be, is there a price that, you know, we're approving?
I have asking, this job description is asking for possibly a master's degree person with a bachelor's degree for sure, past experience, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a high-level person.
A very high-level person, so they're going to be very expensive.
So
my question is, before we even get into that, the cost is coming out of, can't come out of this existing budget. We don't have the money for that, right?
The report just said we did.
Well,
but
the thing is.
Sorry, I'm not falling over on one side of this or the other, but that's not what the report said.
Well, but the thing is, I still don't know. I mean, I thought it's about $50,000.
That would be the administrative assistant one, right?
So, for me to answer that question, I need to know and it should be here. The total cost of this two position will be this because we're basically amending the budgets, and anytime we amend the budgets. The finance department actually has to redo the budget to say how would that look like. So, if
so we
it's,
might want to consider
I need
this
to know
next year.
How much is it? Like, how much is it? If this is a master level person, we need to go price it and go, how much are we paying this position, and then fit it back into the budget to say, are we going to do this?
You know? Well, the first question, as far as I'm concerned, is this is a position that. Some of which is going to be taken over or taken as part of the job description for the general manager. As far as having a project manager, we should have done that 25 years ago.
Thank you.
Right now, I feel like we're pretty clear on what the projects are that need to be taken care of. How we manage that and how we put that together is what's on the table now. I think most of us could make a list pretty quickly of what the projects are.
And how we'd go back and look at that CIP list.
Just the beginning. Right.
Right.
So the project manager, as it's described here, is not someone who is going to tell us what the projects are. We know what the projects are.
Exactly.
And how we plan and manage those projects going forward are budget conscious issues, CIP issues. We need a plan, and I don't see that in this job description. I think that it's an unnecessary person at this point. When we get to making a plan, I'm still hesitant about going forward or recommending this job description. I just feel like we have.
So the position that you are talking about is the higher level project.
Right.
You're okay
right.
with the administrative assistant.
As we
you're okay with that.
It, yes.
But the other one, you're unclear as to what that person will be doing. Right. Because I felt like the administration assistant, without Eric and without Mimi's salary in the next 6 months, we can absorb this.
Yeah, okay. Right? The assistant admin.
But the right. project, now that you just told me that it's a master degree person,
yeah.
it can go up to $200 per hour, and that can rack up really fast, right?
Right.
So
and
we need to. I need to know if you're asking me, do we have the money to do it?
No.
need to know how much.
So, no, I'm just saying that to add a position like this that's not budgeted is a concern of mine. There are things that need to happen, and I don't think that a project manager for these types of suggestions, these types of projects. I mean, I just wouldn't put that money toward that. I would not. It would be duplication of efforts in some areas, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the general manager. That's where I'm at with this.
And I see, like, a project as being a big overarching, for example.
Well, we only have about 50 of those.
All right, conversion. That's a project.
You can take the...
Or even the Grand Leeds Dam project, right?
What you take, the way I see it, is that you have a topic, like infrastructure, and then you have other projects under that topic. We know that. We know what we need to do. We know what we need to do. And as time goes on, we're going to need to do more. When we get to the general managers, where we are with that, the one thing that has not happened since 2021,
okay,
is that we have not had a board strategic planning meeting.
And we haven't had board goals. And it's really difficult
objectives,
to
goals,
steer
and
the ship when we don't know where we're going.
Right. And so that's something that needs to happen. And I don't know how else to say it. You know, it's just not something that we need to do right now. It's not relevant.
So, John, comments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this administrative assistant thing is what it is. This is just like internal help. The three words in here, there are five words, actually. Clerical, administrative, customer service support.
Yeah.
But on the back it says this person doesn't know, or is it the other one? Here's what we're not doing, and it's not hyperchloride, and it's not major CIP projects that we don't do anyway. That's why they invented people like WSC. We're about to undertake a budget analysis and I think have a serious discussion about security and what it's going to require to keep it going. And, you know, until such time as something else happens, we own it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there is a suicide lane now as I go home, okay, that doesn't have a gate anymore. The gate, as it went up and down, okay, was kind of the barometer for the two lanes coming this way.
Going out toward the highway.
Kind of in their brain told them, here I have to stop. Twice now, and I do 600-700 trips a year through this gate, I have seen this. Okay? Now, they haven't met yet.
They're not
we'll have that
looking.
Discussion. Once the two front ends touch each other, we'll have a board discussion on why we need to fix that gate. Okay, so there's an analysis. We've said, Jesus, we need... Got to stop that before we go to the church. We need to do some type of global analysis on what systems are out there and how we change gates that I approved at RMA in 1997.
Brandon's done that.
Okay, well, I haven't seen
it. I don't know why they're not still working.
So, you know, and in conjunction with that, we're trying to finance this with what we have put off because we have no... we have no project management staff to do these kinds of things below the level of the general manager. How do we implement this barcode policy?
Mm-hmm.
How do we cull out and how do we modify an aging system that is gate analysis? How do we make sure we have control over the fact that people are going to get billed $10 and when they don't pay the $10?
We turn off their code.
Do we turn off their water?
No.
We turn
okay.
off their code.
So, or do we? Okay. So then we engage each of these individuals. All right. So we understand we have.
We need an admin assistant. We haven't
done anything except we're going to say we're going to charge people. That's okay. We have a tank balancing system. Okay. That in my head, I've wanted to ask, you know, Rio Oso is a smaller tank. That when you look at the demographic, land demographic of our community has a hyper responsibility for feeding a vast amount of the landscaping, including Stonehouse Park.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, you know, I said, well, if you take the bills and do an analysis on lot size and lot dimensions and where all these lots are located, if we do what we are going to be required to do if we create a water emergency, okay, is do a conservation plan, which we have talked about from two aspects. One, introducing conservation to the community, and number two is to see if we can't minimize the stress on Rio Oso by understanding where we direct this water to go. Nobody to do that project. Okay? We're talking about, well, what do we do with the village and the restructuring? And we want to do an analysis on, you know, converting the village into a 1-meter system. Okay, so we should really analyze that project. There was nobody to do that, so I did it. Okay? And guess what? The law says we can't do what we are proposing to do.
Yes.
Law says as of 2018 that you can't go to a one, you have to have a submeter system. And that's in all new construction. So where I haven't been able to do is the next step of that to go, you know, if it's really the law that we can't do that, what if we go someplace, wherever that authority is, and we say, we want to tear out all our meters and we want to put in one? I don't think that's going to work. Okay, so, but we don't know that because we have nobody to do that analysis.
Right.
Okay, and we have Bob Kyle standing up here telling us that all of what we're talking about in his development doesn't matter because he doesn't have any lawns. Well, if you do analysis, at least at the 10,000 foot level, which is all I'm capable of because right. there's no one else to do the work, okay, you start seeing, well, you know, we have representative sampling, okay, in our base customers because there are lots of customers in Rancho Mirada who don't have landscaping. Mm-hmm. The village. The limited amount of landscaping in Marietta Gardens. How do we? Well, the townhomes don't have landscaping. Oh, yeah, but they have all that water that RMA waters. Well, no, they don't because RMA waters it with a permit out of Laguna Joaquin. Okay,
right.
So there are really a lot of people in our base analysis that give us a good barometer of use. So when you take. I got it here somewhere. I'm going to show you. Okay. So when you look at SB 552, and of course, I did that because we don't have anybody else to do that analysis. I find out that the real baseline that the law outlines for us is to figure out average daily use and then project that out when you look at a well study. Okay. And then once you figure out what your average daily use is, you stretch that across, you know, 5 years, divide by five, and come out with, you know, the 1,750 acre feet of average use that we have, very consistent with the two studies that we did. Okay, and then you start looking at what does it take, okay, in terms of well production to meet average demand. Now, I'm part of the way done with that because there's nobody else to do this analysis. So this is not the kind of stuff, and I'll stop there, okay? There are a lot of other stuff that just we don't do. Because Clerical, Administrative, and Customs Service Support doesn't do this for me. And it doesn't do it for the district. And you know, I could just send you an email and dump all these projects on your lap. You have Saturday and Sunday available.
Right, and then I have nights, too.
And
I could just put a little cot in my office.
We can talk about the vacation schedule because
that's not working.
I don't see
okay,
it.
Okay, guys, okay.
No, so look, you know, I'm tired. And when I get tired, this is the way I get. And I'm tired because I'm doing this stuff at 7:30 in the morning, okay? And So I don't know how we piece all of these needs together between these two pieces, but I'm interested in exploring how we find someone to do this kind of professional internal analysis that makes us operate better. Okay? And are we going to hire a general manager who's going to walk through the door and step in and do these
individual?
This is what a general manager says to this project manager. Not me. A qualified general manager, you know, who with water and district experience,
right,
who says, you know, before we turn on this barcode system, there's some things we need to do. Go do this study. Go find out this stuff for me. The same thing with Rio also. Okay?
Exactly.
And then when we piece this stuff together, okay, and then try to implement it into a rational landscaping or a rational conservation plan that we're going to have to implement, then it becomes a general manager function. But you're not going to have your general manager making, you know, $250,000 a year sitting there doing Excel all day long. So I find us lacking. I don't know how
it's
to fix
called
it.
Called an administrative assistant, an administrative manager.
Well,
is
yeah,
this
but
position
this
position used to be Eric's job.
Many of the things that he's just talked about.
It's Eric's job, right?
Would have been that job, but it's the kind of stuff that I can tell you from an analysis standpoint. We've had a lot of operations directors, and this just was not done. Okay? So I'm at a quandary here as to if we need an assistant to do other stuff, then that's one thing, but
yes,
the other thing we're not dealing with is the high level stuff. Maybe the master's degree thing is a diversion, or it's a description of, in terms of technical expertise or the ability to deal with this type of analysis. It's a different person than what's in this other one. So
they're two different jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have no issue
with this assistant's job.
Well, based on what I just heard from, you know, John, it feels like we need to fill the Eric's job.
Yes.
Is it?
I'm not sure
if he's the one who...
It's two parts, John.
Just...
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
We had a water operations position. We still have that position. And I personally feel that for a lot of reasons that position should be filled. That's part of the equation. The other part of the equation is an administrative manager who takes all this stuff, divides it up, works with the general manager, and comes up with a plan. A plan for this project, a plan for that project. I don't see that if we can pull that stuff together, the admin manager and the water operations manager,
mm-hmm.
I think that we are covered. But we don't have either of those right now.
Here's the other analogy I will strike for you that you know, hanging around here for the last 3 or 4 months has kind of opened my eyes to. When you get at the director of operations level, and I have seen them all, okay, when you start to discuss high-level projects, okay, his job is to go get 3 bids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so, you know, basically we're turning that over, okay, to a water-related agency that does for us in a lot of different respects exactly what Joe Domicelli does for
mm-hmm.
us. So I'm wondering if we have the ability to do the high-level preparation and identify the projects in a complete form, okay, would we would we really want another level of management that has the numbers in his directory to call WSC? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we did with the Integrated Water Master Plan. And
study.
That's why it's atrocious. Because that, okay, was a matter of just going out to different agencies and getting bids for something that we did not fully evaluate as a project. And in the packet, you will get the memo that I wrote when I wasn't on this board to that improvements committee that said, this is why, okay, this was my project analysis at the high level. This is why you don't want to do ultimately what you wound up doing, which was hiring the same consultant for the fourth time, because you were anticipating you would get exactly the same results as you did the first three times. And then not doing what we did in 2010, which is Urban Water Master Plan, because I don't think that improvements committee fully understood what it was they needed to know about an urban management plan, and there would have been no question that you wouldn't have done one. Chances are we're going to wind up doing another one within another year. And as a result of what we're about to do in this meeting, if we are to vote for a water emergency, we are going to immediately have to update our water contingency plan, which is an integral part of what you would have got in an urban plan. We've already been in there. It's in the law. So that's kind of where I am with this. I think we're gonna say, yeah, we and I get it. Okay, we're just gonna hire a director of operations because since 1984 that's what we do.
Right.
I think structurally, organizationally, job description wise, and I agree with some of what has to be laid out for a general manager. Okay, I think it is, you know, on our, you know, getting very close to our 50th anniversary, time to maybe retool a little bit. So I'm you know, I'm at a loss to reconcile two jobs, and I understand that it's consultants, and I understand we can't do anything until we get into the budget cycle when we discuss this stuff and we cost it into next year. But I'm kind of torn here. I'm
It seems to me that there are organizations, and what they do is come in to organizations like us, and they look at how we're currently structured, and they say, well, what you really need is this position, and this is what they would do, and this position, and et cetera, et cetera. So maybe it's time we stop trying to figure this out on our own and get somebody who knows more about it than all of us.
It's called OD. It's organizational development.
Okay. I've done that before with an agency because we were growing at 100%, so we hire an OD, and you can add on that. But we all have to actually list out all the tasks that we need. Mm-hmm. Those people, all the tasks needs to be formulated in a piece of paper for that person to understand how should we structure. So okay. It goes back to what are the tasks out there that's not done? And then the OD will kind of go, okay, we need this. This person needs to have a data analytic background with water utility. And then they can do an OD of redo our organization chart. But until we, you know, and it sounds like for John, there's a listing of job description that he, or project that he wants to do. Then it's time to put it together and then understand what are the job qualification we need for this work to be done.
The benchmark here to start this comparison is unique in its own way, in that you or we, as we cross this line from 2925 to 3000, okay, are going to be required to act and operate like the city of Long Beach.
Yes, sir.
Okay? There is absolutely no difference in the requirements that are set for us at 3,000 units than there is for the city of Long Beach or the city of Commerce or the city of Sacramento. You pick it. Okay, so the administrative and reporting functions of an urban district are going to magnify by 3x, okay? And you can see that, okay, very clearly in the instruction guide that's about to be issued because they had a big meeting, and they have a big meeting every 5 years, and they have the meeting in December because July 1st, is a five-year reporting period for every city on earth in California. So all of that in my head, okay, is something that, you know, even if it's on an interim basis, I'm much more prone at this point in time, and you know, I'm sure there'll be tons of pushback, but I'm much more prone at this time to get somebody at this level than I am to get a director of operations. That's me.
So,
but you know, so maybe not. And we are lucky in this regard that we have two functioning supervisory people at the operational level that keep the lights on. Okay, and more so than keep the lights on. Okay, and I'm not sure that through this current director of operations cycle that we've ever had the level of communication that we have with the people who are actually here, divided by four in four different groups, who are actually doing the work.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the end. So I don't know what to do with this.
I think we should, based on what I heard from... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think that the first thing we need to do is recognize that the job that specialist is not the job that description that we're talking about or that we need. So I would say that we not bring that to the board, and I don't think that we have to bring the administrative assistant to the board. Is that?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we bring that to the board. We don't bring that to the board because that's not what you're talking about. And so maybe we need to hire a consultant to bring some of this stuff together. And I don't know, but is WSC the
No, not the they're not, okay. not they're not an organizational development a group. They're a water engineering firm.
Okay. So it's not WSC, but from what I understand there are people out there. And it would be the kind of thing that would be long-term, but it would not necessarily be a permanent water operations director position. Does that make any sense?
I'm not certain as to what the ultimate person is that gets inserted into a vacant slot that we now call director of operations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm interested in two parts of this. Number one is building a job description around somebody who can do, use the words, management level or MBA level, okay,
right.
Analysis. And does it make sense to do that and at the same time engage somebody, and this is a somewhat of a Patrick question, because what we do with Joe Domicelli is on an annual basis or a contractual basis.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is it feasible or stupid to think about or discuss doing that on a water engineering basis as we do with an infrastructure basis with Joe? So
you mean to hire a consultant and kind of have them on retainer like
well,
we do Joe or
maybe,
Prodigy Electric?
Maybe, and that's and do we cross over some public agency line where, oh, you got to get three bids to do this. You get three bids to get an engineering contract. Once you have that engineering contract, do you keep having to go back to the well to reinvent the wheel?
Every 3 years.
On project by project.
Every 3 years.
Okay, so there's something in that I see we need to look at, and the only way I think you really, you know, on a trial basis somehow at some point is you build a job description, whether it be temporary or from the outside or not, that does this kind of stuff and see if it works. I think it does.
So my point again is that we are not talking about the job description that was presented to us, the project manager's or project specialist job description. We are talking about a separate, different job description or consultant, whatever. So what we need to do on the committee, my take is that we need to take this information, we need to put it together and figure out what's the best direction to go in. And it may not be water operations manager. Whatever that situation or that process is, I think that we need to do that process, because I don't think that this position that is put out there is the position that we need to have. It doesn't jive.
So like the general manager, this is what's going forward as a general manager duty or new? Is this what
the general manager's the general manager's job description is being in this committee? It's being
later on today. So maybe what we're looking for is an agency like HR to go that has an HR specialist, a generalist, and they have lawyers that can look at it from an HR point of view, a consultant that can help us with all of this.
But John kind of discussed this, like we need a GM that can help do this, and that way avoid a lot of this. And that's what Linda's saying as well. Like
When we hire a GM, some of this, a lot of this, is going to be put on them. We also have to recognize that there's a training process
and a learning curve.
So none of this is going to happen as fast as we would all like it to happen. I'm just asking that we not put this job description as it is forward to the board.
To the board.
Mm-hmm. And that we go back to the trenches or whatever you want to call it and try and put together what it is we need to go forward with all of the jobs that we have. It's not just, it's infrastructure and all the list under infrastructure. It's barcodes and it's, you know, everything that you're talking about, John. But I don't think that this job description is the right job description for what we need.
So
that's my take on it.
Okay, so I just want to go back very quickly. Would the committee like staff to go and get three bids for one of these DO organizations to look at us? And are we not there yet?
No. I think collectively... this board needs to at least say, hey, we've been doing it since 84 and look how great it's working. or it needs to say, you know, maybe we need to step back and in our own minds explore a couple of different options that may or may not work. And once you establish what those options are, then you go get somebody that is an OD specialist, a PhD, you know, that's what most of them are. And they don't work at an operating level. They're not going to come in here and say, well, you should hire this person and they should be the one that takes care of the barcodes. They're not, that's not where they come from. Mm-hmm. They want to give you this picture. Okay, they want to show you what when you retool, this is what your organizational chart says you need to look like, and the people in those boxes contribute in this different way. And if you want to say, you know, this influences the GM and the GM board relationship and how you operate. Well, that's where you discuss those things.
Yeah.
But it's got to start somewhere. I mean,
do you feel like you can, or personnel can put something together that covers what you want?
I mean, it's you know, I could.
We just said it. We
it,
can.
But it's not an individual decision. It's a collaborative discussion that has to happen.
But we have to start from somewhere.
So you do, and so you know maybe that's the first question. The first question you ask is, you know, it's been working great since 1984. Look where we are now. I mean, so maybe we just continue down this road until we either have to sell ourselves to somebody or go to the county. I mean, so
I'm just trying to get back to the.
Yeah. No, I think that has to be, if that's part of a strategic plan or it's a discussion unto itself, then maybe we have that, and you know I don't know that we're, I mean it's January, we're by July, we you know we should be at least positioned. Starting with the smaller piece of this to make this determination as to how we at the top level run our water operations and whether we do it, you know, in conjunction with a water engineer and an internal process for analysis, which lends itself to that high level job description. We do it that way, or do we do it the way we've always been doing it? That's the best I can.
By the seat of our pants.
What?
By the seat of our pants.
Okay. So all I'm asking for right now is from this committee that we recommend that we hire the admin assistant, as discussed and put on the
board
through the committee, and that we not advise the board or recommend to the board that we do the project specialist position, that we go back to the drawing board and come up with a position that is going to address the things that we will put together, not necessarily just personnel, but you know there's a lot of people who here, not a lot, but there's people here who can have input into this process, and come up with somebody or a consulting firm or whatever the needs require, and go in that direction and address the things that we need to do instead of doing something that is not going to help us with what we.
So is there. It's January. And are we going to, or do we still do, or a budget workshop?
Oh, there'll be a budget workshop. We'll start that
March.
In March.
Budget workshop.
Okay.
So where you go over a draft budget with the board and discuss all the things that we need. The CIPs are presented at that point so that the board has a really good overview of how much money we need, and then that funnels into the rates and how much the rates will be increased.
So who will be
so that
in
I
that
can
meeting?
Prepare all the board, the
oh,
whole
they
board.
Don't, they don't allow finance different people in the budget.
and then no, I mean, it's
not
that
allowed.
Meeting.
It's not allowed.
It's that meeting that we have the meeting, the board gets to chew on the budget, and then we come back and the board authorizes that. They say, yeah, those rates look like they're reasonable, and they authorize us to send out the Prop 218 notice, which has to be done that last week of March. So that's I'll get a budget
and,
timeline.
Yeah, and, okay. And so here's maybe the middle ground. This you know, if you think you need this, you know, you want to bring this one to the board, the lower level one.
Yes, sir.
I want to bring back in March okay, before the budget meeting. And that budget meeting really needs to be like in March, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's the last week of March that I have to have the Prop 218 notice in the mail.
Okay, so...
So like mid-March, I have to finish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So...
And then you have to have all the CIPs in, too, and I'll give you
so,
that.
So, and then... We can be ready to fight it out and get this in, this higher level position into the budget for next year.
It's not
okay. So I'm gonna so
let
me. So we need to table it and talk some more. So
it sounds to me like we want to take the project, the administrative assistant job description to the board.
Absolutely.
In January for discussion and approval. We have the money in the budget to support that person until that temporary position until, you know, July. And then we will bring back in March to the personnel committee an upper level position that will encompass all of the things that, that you just listed out that we're looking
for. We'll do what we can to fully.
So let us
We'll try to put a number one. We'll try and put a job description together. Number two, we will give you the list of things that remain undone. Okay, and why, you know, by that point, we will be 1 month away from needing a conservation program, so that might be convenient.
And the other part of that is that, I lost my train of thought. We'll be getting, when you said a job description, we'll be getting ready to go to talk about budgets, and
right.
So the job description for the person that we need, not this job description for the
for that upper level position,
but to define and write a job description for what we need, that's what I think we need to do.
So it's in March. I'm putting the budget together in February.
So we need to have that back here to you next month at the February meeting, and particularly because we're so far away from my draft that I wrote and what the committee is actually looking for. So I would like to bring back a new draft
in February. We'll bring you something next month. Is that what you're saying?
I want to bring it to you. I want to work on it and have another draft to you by next month so that we can hopefully be a lot closer to what we're actually looking
what
for in the position.
And that number
so that she can get
it
into her, the budget.
And also, like, I would have a number if you guys want to hire a temporary and we can go out and price it based on what's in the job description. It can be higher inside this fiscal year if we have a number. And whether that person is data analytic person with a lot of water utility, you know, district experience and have done many, many of the consulting job regarding your, you know, the question here, that needs to be all spelled out in the job description so we can price it. We can find the company that can find us those talent.
Absolutely.
Okay.
February.
Okay, February.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have a direction. I appreciate that.
I felt like all these discussion really, HR to go should be part of it.
They are.
Because they have experience helping other companies in streamlining job description, how the organization should be structured. I felt like HR to go should be part of these personnel committee. What do you think, Shelby? Right? Because it's like finance committee is run by finance person. So
the job would ultimately go to HR.
And if
I
you're.
Think the job description needs to come from here.
If you're looking, Amelia, you need then, if we're going to start cranking this stuff in February, then there needs to be from these guys and Corey and Travis. We need to know what it is we're going to fix and when we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
Okay, we keep adding and dropping stuff.
To look at the Loomis report also.
Yeah, we keep adding and dropping stuff because, well, you know, hey, look, we can add one if we drop one, and and we can, well, we're not going to finish this one this year. We can't possibly, we need to know, if we're going to deal with the village and we're going to deal with the tank, whether, however that turns out, and we're going to deal with what may become a necessity to build an urban water management plan.
Yeah.
Wherever these are, we got to know in February what they are, and we got to have some cost to associate with that, understanding that, you know, she's got $9 million, and they want $10 million over there in the village. So, I don't know. So, we need that information.
Would that not be a part, at least as far as infrastructure or water operations is concerned, that would be a part of CIP listing also?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it can go beyond CIP list.
Yeah.
Because some of the things that need to happen are not really necessarily a CIP list thing, although much of it is.
Yeah, most of it is.
Well,
the urban water master plan is, the village is, the Rio Oso tank is, the...
Right, but if, it's not if, just infrastructure, yeah. It's a, you know, it's more comprehensive than that.
It is, because you need the barcode.
I don't know at the point where digging wells or test wells, there needs to be some evaluation up front of what the delivery cost is. I understood, like in the WSC report, the one thing that confused me was there was a gleeful line that says, oh, one of these wells, which is of a moderate, you know, some are really bad, and this is a moderate one, is right next to a water main, and I don't know what being next to a water main,
right.
Are there people that we're going to like inject this water into a water main, and it's going to go, where's it going to go when it goes in the water main? So if it
no,
doesn't...
No, we're going to put up an auxiliary water treatment plant
I need to understand going forward before we even make an intelligent decision on a well.
Yeah.
A well could be completely excluded from this project if it's going to cost us $7 million or $12 million to bring that water to a treatment facility or to build a treatment facility next to the well.
Right.
Typically, that's water production versus treatment. You don't typically treat it too much except for add a little bit of chlorine, if at all. So it's not like you have to add a whole treatment plant.
You mean you just have to add a little chlorine? What about taking the arsenic out?
Well, that's why I say it depends on your well, if the well's good or not. That's usually, a lot of times, you don't use a well of arsenic or other products. That's where you got TTHMs.
Corey, we since 1849, we have been using
water with arsenic in it.
Mercury and arsenic and digging giant holes in the Cosumnes, okay?
Absolutely.
So...
Just a couple things to think about.
Okay. Do we have a direction? Are we clear?
I'm very clear, and I'll tell you what I understand that you're saying, that we will be bringing the administrative assistant position to the board this month in January for approval and immediate hiring of that temporary position, if the board approves it, of course, and that we're going back to the drawing board on the project specialist. We're just going to call that down, not for fun. We're going to incorporate all the projects that we need and work with HR to go to get a job description that's really meaningful and to try and find just the right person. We'll have that next month at personnel so that hopefully it can go into the budget that Cecilia is going to start working on momentarily. Thank you.
Fair enough.
Thanks a million. Okay, the last thing is the search for the general manager. I'm not going to go into depth. You can read this. Basically, there's a couple of things to consider. One is that in writing or revamping, redoing, whatever you want to call it, the general manager's position, we really need to look at what CSDA has provided on several different levels. The roles of the board and the general manager, the collaboration
that should be going on between the two and clear up the misconception from my perspective that we hire a general manager, we give them the keys, and then we walk away as a board. That is not acceptable. And so that will be my focus as I'm putting this thing together, and John, I hope you'll help me, because that's what needs to happen. And along with that, at some point, fairly soon, we need to do a strategic planning committee or strategic planning workshop. And that workshop would help to identify where we need to make plans, what we, and the board is responsible for that. That is not a general manager's job. The board is responsible for mission, vision, objective,
goals and objectives.
Objectives and goals, which are kind of overlapping. So that's what I'm focusing on. I put down three tasks, and one of them, the first task, there's a list of things that we need to consider our preferences and when examining the candidates. We've had some bad experiences, to say the least. And so in looking at someone to take this position, we need to be clear that we want somebody who wants to make a commitment. We want somebody who's willing to work with the board, not and collaborate, not fight them or keep them in the dark. We need somebody who will acquire the knowledge of the district and the community, current and historical. It is not a good idea to think that we're going to hire somebody and that, again, we're just going to give them the keys and they're going to take over. It will be a learning curve. We need to train them, at least give people give the general manager information. We have not done that. We've hired general managers and literally not given them information, not trained them, not other than a list of things that we want them to do. I don't know how we've done that, to hire a general manager that we don't have some set of information, past and present. So those are, and then the second thing about the job description and job duties, that will be the actual rewrite. And that's what needs to happen now. and then once there's a rewrite, that's going to take this, I think this would be considered, what would you call it, a page that, you know, kind of spells out the philosophy and what we want to do and how we want to hire and all that.
Okay.
You know, all the stuff that I put under the first test. Once we get the job description draft written, we need to take it to the board, I think, first. You can help me with this.
Yes, we have to take it to the board.
Take it to the board first. And then it goes to HR.
I will have HR already have weighed in on it before it comes even to personnel. So they'll already have put their two cents in. They'll let me know if it's compliant, if it's legal, if it's...
So before it goes to the board, we're going to send it to HR?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. So
whatever.
Yeah.
And I think then, you said before the personnel committee, right?
Yeah.
Okay, not the board.
Before even the personnel committee.
Then. Say what?
I was going to send it to HR to go before the personnel committee so that they can look at it, make sure it's legal and compliant, and it's checking all the boxes that
they
need to check.
Whatever the process is.
I think that makes the most sense.
Okay. And then when we have an actual job description and we're ready to go, then we hire a executive recruiter. And we send the job description and all that we want to go along with it. And we start the search.
I think the second part is as important as the first part. And I don't think we've ever really been clear in these general manager searches that we've been through. You know, the job description is 75% of it will be generic because it's what the law requires us to do.
Mm-hmm.
okay, and the rest of it is less so. But when you work with a recruiter, okay, it's a one-on-one relationship where
right.
you have a piece of paper in front of you and said, okay, these are the mechanical skills mm-hmm. that this person needs to possess to do the job. And the second part of it is, number one, that the recruiter knows the history,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
how well we've done since, you know, 1984. And what our challenges have been over the last, particularly over the last 5 years, and what led to those challenges was the historical mistakes we have made, I think, 5 times. That include never hiring someone who has run a district or has run a special district or a water district. We've never had one, ever. Ed grew into the job when he was here because he was a district engineer. But we've and that worked out pretty well. But beyond that, we've never had somebody.
We never had
somebody with management experience of a district, water or special. That's most important.
So
that they get a real understanding of yeah, this is mechanically what we need to find, but when we do the interview process, this is how we screen out, okay? And after they screen out, the next step for that is to the personnel consultant, who makes a determination as to who we want to see and who we don't, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to see 7, okay?
People.
I
yeah.
want to see the best of 3. And
yeah.
between the consultant and HR to go, they have a list, and they understand what the disqualifying
right.
characteristics
right.
are.
Right, exactly.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they understand that this is not something where, and we have historically done some of this, we jump at something or we settle for something.
I couldn't
Until
agree with
we
you
find
more.
What's on the sheet of paper, we wait.
Mm.
And if that's
and
a long time,
and we keep looking until we find the
time.
Perfect person.
Right.
And
so.
That's exactly what I put in this
mm-hmm.
report, whatever you want
mm-hmm.
to call it, that we have to have, yes, we have to have the job description. And we have to have the job duties, but we have to have an understanding with whoever is looking for this person for us of what the background is, what are the unspoken but necessary things for us to consider a candidate.
Yeah, the
yeah.
common mistakes,
yeah.
in my mind, the common mistakes we have continually made is the focus was not on somebody who possesses both the knowledge, the skill, or possesses the knowledge, skill, and experience in water and sewer. We need somebody who has some familiarity with urban water management plans. We
mm-hmm.
have, you know, and working in an urban district, we don't want to hire some guy from Groveland. I mean, we want to hire somebody
from Sac City
that understands how it operates, because it operates the same in Long Beach as it does here.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
So we'll make that list, and then that goes to the. That, to
and
consultant.
I think that most importantly, what you both said about not just having a candidate, not just hiring the live body, the warm body, but waiting until we find the right fit for the position, something
there
that can lead us into the next era.
There has been in the past, from the 7 years that I've been on the board, when we've had to hire a general manager, which has been way too frequently, that
yeah, let's hire the last
rush.
One.
We're in a rush. We have to have one. And yes, not having one is problematic. I mean, we've all seen that.
Mm-hmm.
However, like I said originally, there is a training, a learning curve. And so if we find the perfect person, if they have ABC and all of the above, there is still going to be some time that is going to take for this person to internalize, grasp, understand, look at the history. And that's why I'm asking also, when we do this, that we have a plan to train them.
To train them.
At least basic information.
Because that learning curve, I've been here 6.5 years, and the learning curve...
That's right.
It just gets steeper and steeper every day that I'm here, because there's so much history, and there's so many agreements that have been made, and so many things that have brought us to where we are today, that it's...
Yeah.
My sixth sense is, like, using me as an experience, walked in into a big mess.
Mm-hmm.
If you find a qualified person who had experience, who know technical-wise, have experienced all this before, like me, you can walk in and fix it.
Crisis management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chaos management.
Right. So it depends on whether you find someone who had ran an agency before with experience, they wouldn't walk in and they would know what to do. Like, I
well,
walk
right,
in,
to a certain extent, yeah.
Yeah, but I would walk in and go, okay, this, it's not like that. It needs to be like that.
Mm-hmm,
and then run the agency to where the optimum stage should be. So I think experience is very important.
I think the experience is vastly important.
We once found the perfect candidate on paper, but he was the perfect candidate because he made up what was on the paper.
Oh, I didn't know that that was
no, don't.
Don't do that. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Director update. Okay, any other comments? Anybody? Okay, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Since we're adjourned,